Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's conference call covering the test flows from Fort Peck Dam. This call is open to the public to provide information on the status of the test flows to ensure compliance with the 2018 biological opinion. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. The forced mute function does not necessarily work on all phones, so if I ask, please use your phone's own mute function and do not place the call on hold. The question and answer session will take place at the end of the call. The agenda is as follows. John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division, will provide details regarding test flows. Joe Bonneau, Manager from the Missouri River Recovery Program, will provide an update on monitoring. And Pat Broughton from the U.S. Geological Survey will provide detailed information regarding telemetry of pallid sturgeon. And with that, I will hand the call over to John Remus.
Thank you, Arlene, and good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Not a lot to report on the water management side. We've been holding about 10,000 cubic feet per second average daily flow out of Fort Peck during this retention flow period. We will begin ramping up for the second peak sometime to mid to late next week and then go to the peak of 22,500, or that's our goal anyway on there. The upper basin runoff in May was a little bit more than we had anticipated, particularly to the Garrison project. A little bit of that was due to the higher flows than we anticipated out of the Milk River. In that, because of those higher flows out of the Milk River, we were able to conserve a little bit more water in Fort Peck. So Fort Peck's a little higher than we had anticipated a month ago. So it looks like we're in really good shape for a complete test this fall or this year. And with that, I'll turn it over to Joe Bonneau or Pat Broughton. Thank you.
Thank you. From a monitoring standpoint, from the physical monitoring, there's nothing new to share yet from previous calls, but I would like to remind folks that if you have information you want to share, observations at your property at a pump site or something, we have that HydroVis tool that's on the screen right now, the link to it, and you can go to that site. It allows you to put points on a map and enter comments, pictures, whatever. It's a great way to get us your feedback. You can do it observations before, during, after. That's one way to get input back to us. If you see something occurring that you want us to know about, good, bad, or indifferent, I would encourage you to use that tool. There's also the link to the water management email address that we've shared previously too, but this HydroVis tool that you see the link on the page, that lets you put your feedback on the map so that you can really nail down where the concern is geographically. And when you go into that site, I think some of you have already, you can choose whether the information you share is visible by others or not, or just shared with the Corps. So if you have questions about that, let us know. I haven't heard of folks having problems using it, but hopefully it's a straightforward process to get your feedback to us, and that'll be important here in the month of June. So as I mentioned, the only new information we have is on the fish side. Every week, Pat Broughton gives an update. And so we have 1 week of new information Pat has to share. if there are no, and then if there are questions later for me regarding that information, input, please share them.
Thanks, Joe, and we'll hand it over to Pat.
Thanks.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. I have a couple of slides, fairly similar to slides in the previous presentations, the previous weeks, with one little difference added to this first graph. So we've been into the flow modification situation now for 5 or 6 weeks. And I'm just going to back up to the earlier, before the test flow started, and just run through some of the progress that's been made to date, give you an update of where things stand as of now. So back in early April, through the end of April, flows in the coming out of the dam were right around just over 6,000, a little bit below 6,000. Starting April 26th, flows were increased, and these were referred to as traction flows. These attraction flows were intended to do just that, attract pallid sturgeon into the Upper Missouri River response reach. These flows peaked out at about 18,000 CFS. And the black line here gives you the Wolf Point discharge. That was that's the target location for the tests. And the gray line gives you discharge at Culbertson. A little bit delay in the flows reaching Culbertson just because it is further downstream. Oops, can you go back to the previous slide? There you go. So the attraction flows diminished, and then it's now in a period of retention flows. And retention flows were hypothesized to keep any fish in the upper system that had been attracted to the upper system with those attraction flows. So in another 10 days or so, the retention flows will be transitioned into that second peak flow, I think starting on June 14th, somewhere in there. As John just mentioned, they will be increased. So the pink line here, this is the little change from the previous presentations you've seen. This is giving you a status of the total number of pallid sturgeon in the Upper Missouri River response reaches. So we started with a couple of baseline tracking runs. One was in the week of April 1st, I recall. The second one was about April 15th that week. And during that time frame, before the pre-flow increases, we had 15 to 17 pallid sturgeon in the Missouri River response reach. The attraction flows kicked in April 26th, as I mentioned, progressed through early to mid May, and the total number of pallid sturgeon that were in the response reach peaked out right around 23 to 26 telemetered pallid sturgeon. Of course, during that time, you have fish coming into the system. You have some fish that are exiting the system, so you have the immigration-emigration dynamics going on. After the attraction flows, now, as I mentioned, we're in this period of retention flows. There's been some recent emigration out of the system. In particular, there's been two of the five reproductive females, the wild females, have exited the system. But there are still some females, some hatchery females left. And I'll show you those in a little bit. And as we stand today, we're at 21 pallid sturgeon in the Missouri River response reach. Okay, next slide. So our latest distribution of these fish spans from right around Fraser Rapids, Peterson Point area, river mile 1748.7, downstream to that lowermost logging station at Fort Buford, just below the Montana, North Dakota state line there. As I mentioned, there are three reproductive females that remain in the upper portion of the response reach above Wolf Point, code 342, 337, in code 422. There are also several males in the response reach. These are all hatchery fish except for the one wild pallid sturgeon, and that's our wild male, and that's code 240. And that's all I have for you.
All right, thanks, Pat. We'll move to the question and answer session. We have 46 callers on the line, and thank you for joining us. You've been consistent just about every single week. Because this test is centered on areas immediately downstream of Fort Peck, we will start with individuals from Montana, then North Dakota, then calls in alphabetical order by state. Please state your name and the organization you represent before asking your question or making your statement. Remember to press star 6 to unmute your phone or use the computer screen if you use the webinar to call in. You can also raise your hand using the webinar. We'll start with the state of Montana. Doug Hardy.
Yes, my question is, I don't know that you can say success or not, but did the number of fish attracted up meet expectations, or some comment on that, please?
Is that for Pat or for Joe?
Whoever wants to answer that one, I'm fine.
Joe, you want that one?
I think Joe may have fallen off. I don't see his name in the list.
Okay, Doug, I can just add some on there. So the hypothesis was that the enhanced flows would, you know, stimulate some migration into the Missouri River system. We did see some movement of fish into the system, you know, during and slightly after, you know, the flows diminished. So there was some movement into the system.
How did that match with the expectations, or were there none?
Well, it was difficult to predict exactly how many fish would come into the system. in every year, you're going to have some fish that enter the Yellowstone River. Most years, most of the fish would be going into the Yellowstone River. So it was unknown really how many fish would enter the Missouri River.
The last follow-up on that is, put it this way, is seeing the number that did and the number that exited, did it put a smile on your face or a frown on your face or a neutral face?
So on the hatchery side of things, the hatchery fish, those three fish are still in the system. They're being retained, and not only in the system, they are up high in the system, you know, above Wolf Point. And one of the, you know, hypotheses is that the elevated flows would get these fish as high up in the system as possible. And, you know, with the two wild fish, the two code 262, the code 272, you know, they came into the system as well. And, you know, in any given year, you know, you may have some of the wild fish that will move into the Yellowstone system where they spend a lot of their time. They can duck out of the Yellowstone system, come up the Missouri a little bit, but most of the time they end up going back into the Yellowstone system and spawning.
Thank you for the granularity.
So there are, you know, three fish that are three reproductive females anyway that are still retained in the upper system.
Okay, I do have a couple questions from the chat. Also, I did have a note from Joe that he had to drop off the call for another meeting. The next one is from David Trimpe. Any concern with the retention flow continuing to decline? I'm assuming the Corps is prioritizing the second peak and use of the spillway over trying to maintain the retention flow.
Do you want me to answer that, or you want John Remus to answer that?
Why don't you take the first part of that about any concern about the decline? I'll answer the second part after you're done.
Okay. So there, you know, like I mentioned, there are still three females in the upper system. So, you know, with a slight decline in the flows, at least three of them are still, you know, being retained. And hopefully they stick around for another 10 days before the, you know, the flows start to increase again.
The second half of that, we did, when we came down from the first peak, did make a conscious decision to kind of limit the releases or max cap the releases out of Fort Peck at 10,000 average daily flow so that we would have water on the spillway for a second peak. As it turns out, we probably could have run a little bit more water out with the runoff we saw in the upper basin this last month. But yes, we did we did keep water in. We did limit our releases so that we had a better chance of having spillway flows for the second peak discharge there.
Thanks, John. I'm looking to see if there's any other hands raised. I do not see any. So again,
This is Mike Ames. I'm not sure how to raise my hand on your device here.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Lucky to be here. So Mike Ames with Agri Industries and Wyandotte Land and Livestock. I'm wondering what the Corps has observed and how many times you've surveyed, whether it's LIDAR or you've been out there ever since this test started on the stream bank erosion.
I don't think Randy's on and Joe dropped off. I couldn't really tell you, Mike. We'll
Randy
get that information.
On the call, John. Randy's
okay,
on.
Randy. You're on. Can you answer that, Randy?
Yeah, I can, John. We haven't got any of the results back from the LIDAR or the physical monitoring yet. The contractors are processing that data, and we'll share it as soon as it's ready. But I don't have any direct feedback from the surveys conducted thus far. Over.
Randy, we've just flown it once. Is that correct?
We have flown it twice.
Okay.
Pre test flow and pre first peak.
You know the dates?
Yeah, I do know the dates that it was flown. I don't have them in front of me right now, but I could definitely get those to you.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. I've been spending more time out at the farm, and our farm is straight south of Fraser. We go all the way up to the rapids and then come all the way down kind of east of Fraser. But I've just noticed a steady accelerated erosion, especially right there at the rapids. And then as the river turns north, kind of southwest of Fraser, and we've lost a fence line probably, I don't know, 20 feet of erosion just west of our farmstead. And so we call it our bull pasture. And we've lost part of that fence now into the river. I'm going to have to figure out how to get on Hydrovice. If I can send that stuff to you so you can see it. But I'm still highly concerned about the stream bank erosion from this test, and very, very nervous about the high flow, what's going to happen to us. We know we're going to have to pull our pumps out and the initial surge to let the trash go by. And then I'm hoping we can keep irrigating during that high test, because we definitely have to be, especially our spring wheat and our durum wheat. So that's going to be pretty critical for us. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mike and everybody else, if you're having trouble getting into HydroViz, you can always just email the Water Management, Missouri River Basin Water Management email address, which we've shared a number of times. And Eileen, why don't we put that email address on next week's slide?
Yep, I'll do that.
And you can attach, you can send us photos as well. So. Anxious to hear what you have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other state of Montana? And just go ahead and come off mute or raise your hand. Okay, we'll move to North Dakota. Iowa. Kansas. Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota. It looks like Paul has his hand up. Maybe it was up and down.
Quick question on the second peak.
When would you anticipate that that is designed to trigger spawning activity, Pat? When would you anticipate the spawn to occur? How quickly after that peak is run?
Okay, so the peak flows, and John can correct me if I'm incorrect in this, will occur from about June 21st to the 24th. What we've seen in the Yellowstone River over the past several years, where the majority of spawning has happened, is that spawning will happen after that peak flow starts to come down. It's difficult to predict exactly when that could happen. If the flows are diminished starting June 24th, could spawning occur the 26th, the 27th, July 1st? Yes, anywhere in between there. But we do anticipate it sometime after that peak.
Thank you, Pat. Paul, does that answer your question?
Paul, I wish I could predict it.
No, I understand it's a moving target, and fish respond when they respond, but I was just hoping for a ballpark estimate, and you provided that. Thank you very much.
Yep, it should be after that peak. Same thing for the Yellowstone River. In the past several years, we try to predict that. One thing with the Yellowstone system, typically you have fairly large aggregations of male pallid sturgeon that are sitting at the spawning location, and they wait for that female to show up. So we continually stay on track with those females, follow them as they go up and down the river, and eventually they do jump into that aggregation. But it's really, really difficult to predict. After the peak flow, yes.
Great, thank you. Any other questions from others who didn't get a chance, or maybe got a new idea for a question in hearing the discussion? Molly Masters.
Molly Masters with the Missouri River Conservation District Council. I think it's a quick question. So as it was stated, there's about 10 days until the water starts to increase again. If the three reproductive females were to leave, would that second high peak still be done?
Yes, I believe so. There are other things to learn from this, but I believe we would still run that second high peak.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Checking one more time, see if anybody has any questions. I do not see any hands up. If you do have a question, please feel free to come off mute.
Eileen, this is Randy. Yes. Sellers. I have some information for Mike Ames, if we've got time for that quick.
Yep, go ahead. Thanks, Randy.
Yep. Mike, the first LIDAR flight started on April 2nd. And completed on April 9th. That would, of course, be the pre-flow or the pre-test flow LIDAR and imagery. And the second LIDAR flight began on May 1st and ended May 10th.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm just wondering, nobody's going to have better information on bank erosion and what's happening than you guys will have. And so it's nice to know is when those are happening. And so there's quite a few people that call us and ask us up here, what are these dates and what's happening? And I haven't had anybody, and we haven't noticed at YDOC any boots on the ground. And maybe they've been here and we're just not aware of it.
Thanks again, Mike, for that information, and to Randy as well. Again, one last scan. Randy, I see your hand up again. I wasn't sure if you had more to say, or that was from before. Looks like that was from before.
How's that? Better? Thank you.
I'm tied to that tech, you know? Okay, looks like I have no other questions at this point, so I will hand it over to John Remus to close the call.
Thank you, Eileen. As I mentioned last time, you know, we're running this test flow to determine if there are management scenarios from Fort Peck that could improve the conditions for the fish. This is a test. There's a lot of factors out there that influence a lot of these processes. So I would caution anybody to be drawing any conclusions, even at the end of this test, but certainly not in the middle of this test one way or the other, as to whether or not this was a successful test or whether or not we could prove one thing one way or another. This is a first in a series of tests, and that's why we're having a series of tests, so we can kind of isolate these various factors and determine what, if anything, can be done at Fort Peck to improve the conditions. And with that, I will close the meeting. Thank you all for listening in, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes today's call.